The National Defense Authorization Act for this year will include an increase in cyber operations. It is one of the few budget categories that will go up in the defense budget. Ben Fitzgerald is a senior fellow and director of the Technology and National Security Program at the Center for a New American Security. He's writing about potential models for success in cyber command and control structure, and writing about it with your colleague, Lieutenant Colonel Parker Wright of the United States Air Force. Ben, welcome to the program. Explain what you are writing about and studying here overall before we get into the specifics of your work, Ben.
Sure. What we were really looking at was how can military commanders, especially at combatant commands, make better use of cyber capability as the United States military gets more and more access to those capabilities.
Now, the debate about whether cyber should be its own command has been settled for now, but and the debate about whether cyber should be its own domain is settled for now. But the reason that I say for now is that there still is some conversation about that, given that cyber is a part of, if not pervasive in, all of the other domains in that the Defense Department thinks about. How does that implication fit with what you and Lieutenant Colonel Wright have looked at, given the idea of centralization of cyber functions or decentralization of those functions?
Well, I think it's important to consider what do we need now and what do we need in the future, because cyber capability is maturing and it's maturing rapidly. So the things that make sense for today, like dual hatting for Cyber Command and NSA, like centralizing a lot of the capability at Cyber Command, make sense for today. But as we get access to more advanced technologies and more larger scale capability, how do we effectively manage that across the force and across the range of operations that we would be using the capability on?
Is that a question of flexibility of how these structures are built, or is that a question of just being aware of the fact that that flexibility may be required in the future?
The second. So for us, in the first instance, and what we're arguing for in this paper, is that on the Hill and in the Department of Defense, we need to think explicitly about how we do command and control for cyber. Folks are thinking about it, but tend to use specific legal terms in a generic manner and haven't necessarily worked through all of the details. That's fine for now as we're building the capability, but as we reach maturity, we can't afford to have informal measures in place.
What about the kinds of structures that are being built? My sense is that the kinds of command structures in cyber that are being built are applicable and relevant and important for kinetic conflict, but may or may not be applicable and relevant for cyber conflict if it ever comes to that.
That's right. There are a number of factors to look through. So for us, as we were considering this in the paper, we saw that there are four main things to think about, which is how do you generate unity of effort? How do you ensure responsiveness for the military commander who needs the capability? Availability, how do you make sure that they have enough and that they have someone who they can essentially get choke con of? And how do you get the right level of specialization? So we know how to command and control a variety of different things. The question is, what's the best model for cyber?
We have a link to your work at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, Ben. I wanted to ask you, if I could, about a couple of your recommendations now that we have a sense of what you and your colleague are looking at. You write, U.S. Cybercom should exercise COCOM but delegate OPCON of combat mission forces to the combatant commanders. The combatant commanders have, I guess it's fair to say, less of a role than Cybercom has, and I imagine less of a role than they'd like to have, given the importance and pervasiveness of cyber operations right now.
Yeah, so the model that we think is the best analogy for cyber is the SOCOM model, where SOCOM maintains combatant command of those forces, but then delegates operational control to the relevant geographic combatant commander for those operations. That means that all of the authorities are managed effectively, but the forces are responsive to what the commander needs in that geographic area based on their understanding of conditions on the ground.
Ben Fitzgerald's a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. He and his colleague writing about cyber command and the structures therein. You can find a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Another recommendation you make is that combatant commanders should establish joint functional cyber component government commands. And that seems on the surface to be logical. As important as cyber is, I would think each of the combatant commanders would want a go-to person. But if that hasn't happened yet, and you think that it's important enough to write about it, there must be a reason for that.
Yeah, we think that it's important, and our sense as well that this is actually the way that Cybercom is going. So Cybercom's already thinking about this stuff. Our sense is that they're thinking about it in the right way. It's just a question of when will that come online. And as you said, it's absolutely about giving the geographic combatant commander access to someone with the right level of seniority and understanding of the capability to command and to coordinate all of the capabilities that they need at a given point in time.
You addressed the issue that we broached a little bit earlier, Ben, about Cyber Command by saying, writing, DOD should establish U.S. Cybercom as a full unified command, but retain the dual hatting arrangement for the NSA director and the commander of U.S. Cybercom only until cyber is effectively established as a fighting force. So at some point in time, you would like to see that separated, it sounds like. What are the criteria that you would like to see the Defense Department use for that separation?
Sure. First off, I should point out that that's my sense. Lieutenant Colonel Wright, as an active duty Air Force officer, is in no way making recommendations up his chain of command.
Understood.
My sense is that it makes sense while we're maturing that capability. When we get to a level of maturity so that the organizations aren't necessarily butting heads, especially while Cyber Command is really developing its capability, then it makes sense to separate them out. Sharing those authorities is critically important. If you talk to folks at Cyber Command, they talk about not doing Title 10 or Title 50 missions, but doing Title 60 missions. So the things that need to get resolved are how we manage the authorities, which is going to require congressional action. And ultimately, in the long term, it makes sense to have the NSA and Cyber Command as separate organizations because they have separate missions. NSA is about gathering intelligence, using at times the cyber domain, whereas Cyber Command is about undertaking operations through the cyber domain. So at times, the intelligence organization is going to want to protect sources, whereas the military organization will need to undertake operations which may affect intelligence operations. There's an inherent tension there.
I imagine well-intentioned folks would have different definitions of what a level of maturity is, though. What is your sense of what that will look like so that we'll know it when we see it?
It's a great question. I think that's a $64,000 question. Actually, with cyber, it's probably the $64 billion question. I don't think that we will know until we get closer. The issue is that we can take sensible steps in the short term to make sure that we're maturing the capability in the right way, so that when we do need to make that final decision, it's not difficult to change direction.
You write in conclusion, no C2 structure is perfect, and C2 alone doesn't guarantee effective capability. Or operation structures must also constantly evolve to remain effective and relevant. And I think that therein lies the rub. I mean, people have remarked for years that one prediction you can confidently make about the Defense Department is that their predictions don't usually turn out very well. In that context, how do we make decisions about issues that are even more impossible to predict the future of, such as cyber operations? We're seeing things now we had no idea we'd see 2 years ago, let alone 10 years ago.
Yeah, so I think that's exactly right. And for me, that is where investing in organizational capability, things like command and control, help us build organizations that are more resilient and adaptable and able to address change as it occurs. So the solution that works for us today is not the solution that will work for us in 4 years' time, and is not the final solution in terms of what things might look like in 12 years' time. So that means that we need to think explicitly and consciously about this, and use that change process to mature the capability in a sensible fashion.
There's a school of thought that the Defense Department doesn't respond well to structural change, but if you look just at the stand-up of Cyber Command itself over the last several years, that school of thought may not be correct. Are the structural things in place that DOD will need just to do the structural issues that you're talking about, Ben?
It's difficult to know, and I agree structural change is very difficult within the Department of Defense. But if we don't think about it at all, things will get decisions will be made implicitly, and we'll only find out that we've made a wrong decision when it blows up, either through a mistake being made or someone exploiting a system or, God forbid, another sort of leak. And then significant and unpleasant questions will be asked, and we need to have something that is unimpeachable in place so we can defend why we did what we did.
Digital theaters, decentralizing cyber command and control. It's fascinating work with you and your colleague, Lieutenant Colonel Parker Wright of the United States Air Force, Ben Fitzgerald of the Center for a New American Security. Thanks very much for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Francis. This was fun.